This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Jonathan McLean. I am here in the radio studio with Mr. Bishop, Tony Bishop, who is a coach. And Donna is joining us by phone today, and we are all united in agreement for her husband's total healing. And Donna, welcome. Maybe if you're able to hear us, we're going to be sharing together.
Yes, I'm able to hear you fine, and I just want to thank everyone for the keeping Pastor Gene and myself in prayer. We actually really both need it. And I just really want to thank the radio station, Pastor Tom, and I'd like to thank you, Jonathan, and you, Tony, for being so faithful and helping us to fulfill this call that God has on our life about raising the standard, because we all need to raise the standard in our life, and we know that the Word of God is the only way we can raise the standard. And so I just, I'm thankful for everyone, and I just thank the people for praying for us. And we are home, and if possibility, I may be able to take the phone in and let Pastor Gene just say, give you guys a hi. You know, he loves doing this radio program. And, you know, Pastor Jonathan, you have a great radio voice. Every time I listen to you, you have a great radio voice. And you give me a call, because I've had a couple people call me about the what you're going to have for the prayer for the
Amen.
I would
Good.
Call them the elders, the pastors, and the people that are called to the Treasure Coast, because there's a lot of treasures in the Treasure Coast. And it's interesting, God mentions treasure in this one scripture I'm going to share in a little bit. Amen. Jonathan, you want to say something about the prayer?
Yes, there's going to be a gathering of pastors from the Treasure Coast. This is covering Martin County, St. Lucie County. And someone called in the other day, I think, to Chris Fogle and said, I pastor a house church. Does that qualify? Well, pastors, as well as maybe a couple, two or three from their pastoral staff, are all welcome to come. The purpose is for the body of Christ to move beyond our walls, Tony, get beyond our walls and get beyond our own personal calendars, agendas, and not that all of those are not important, but it is a call to the body of Christ to come together in the marketplace and just humble ourselves and cry out and seek God on behalf of our land. And then to seek the Lord for direction. What does the Father have for us to do here on the Treasure Coast that can be effective in changing the spiritual climate of our land?
Amen. That's very important. Very, very important. I want to read a scripture out of John, the Gospel of John. And this has to do with Moses and also with the Torah reading for the last week or so. It says in John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So we know that grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. And I also like what it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and 23. It says that God is the judge. And what God is doing is, and I believe it has to do with this, it says, God the judge, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And so this is what we're wanting to have, men that, and women, I would include men because I believe this men means both men and women, because sure. We can look at Deborah. Mm-hmm. Deborah was a judge, and she did mighty works for the Lord. So God said, God is the judge. And God wanted to set up a judicial system, I believe, not the people wanted a king. And we know that it talks about over here in Exodus chapter 18 that there was a man called Jethro, and he was a priest of Midian. And what did he do? Moses lived with him for like 40 years. So, and he kept calling him father-in-law all through that, you know. And I think about honoring, you know, what it says about honoring our parents, you know. Mm-hmm. But it says over there that he listened to Jethro, and he believed him. He believed the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage. And in verse 5, it says, Jethro came to Moses where he camped at the Mount of God. Well, the Mount of God was the same, I believe, the same vicinity where Moses was when he had the Jethro's flock. And, you know, he spoke with God, and God spoke with him out of the burning bush, because he turned and looked to God. And I think, you know, if we turn and look to God for our answers and not to man, you know, we're going to get wisdom. And, you know, Moses listened to him, and he listened to him, and he got wisdom. In verse 10, it says that Jethro even blessed God. And I think that's pretty awesome, because, you know, he knew about God. He had to have known something about God, because Moses lived with him for quite a few years, you know. Mm-hmm. It says he blessed the Lord who has delivered thee out of the land of Egypt. So that was, I think that was really important. And then it says in verse 13, it says that Moses set to judge the people, what, from morning till evening? I mean, that's a long time. You know, he was gonna burn out. And so the Lord sent Jethro to give him a word of wisdom, I believe. In verse 15, it says that the people came to Moses to inquire of God. So they were, see, that was Moses' job, to teach the people. To teach them the laws and the statutes of the Lord, and to teach them not to sit as a judge over them day and night. You know, nobody can do that. No one can do that. No pastor can do that. That's why there's so many pastors that are burning out, you know. And it says in verse 15 that the people came to Moses to inquire of God. So, you know, people were inquiring of God. And 16 says, Moses judged and he made the people to know the statutes of God and his laws. Well, Jethro in verse 18, he told Moses he would wear away. He would, you know, you're going to burn out. You're going to wear out, you know. This is too heavy a job for you. So, you know, I'm thinking about all these people you're going to bring together. It's too heavy of a job for any one person or any church or any group of people or any denomination. God wants his people to come together, and especially the leaders when they come together in one accord, because we talked about elders, and we're, you know, all the leaders, pastors, I believe they should be elders. They should be holy people that fear God. And anyways, it says here, Jethro told Moses he would wear out. So he said in verse 19, he said, hearken or hear my voice. So Jethro gave Moses counsel. You know, we all need wise counsel. I need counsel. We all need counsel from each other. And I think when you have,
amen.
The Bible talks about that as well. Well, anyways, but in verse 20, it says Moses was to teach the people the things of God. In 21, he says to fear God and the men of truth. So I think that, you know, when we have that, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, verse 21, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be what? Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of 10. So you talked about this pastor that had 2 or 5 or 10. God is not saying that having 50 or having 100 or 1,000 is more important than having 10.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
That's right. What's important is knowing our calling, being faithful.
So we know that Moses hearkened, he listened to him. He listened to this man, to Jethro. He listened to his father-in-law. And it says there in verse 24, I believe it is, that he did all. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So he listened. So Moses chose these able men. So, you know, that's what God is wanting. He's wanting able men and women to do the work of the Lord. And so we have to, but we have to come together. Because I just feel, oh, I also want to share Isaiah 1:26, and then I'm going to just let you guys know. We just kind of like to flow here with raising the standard. Those of you who listen to us all the time, you kind of know how Pastor Gene and I just kind of flow from one thing to the other. And that's okay. You know, we don't really have a set thing, but we want to have the Holy Spirit lead us. Amen. So
amen.
We may have an idea, but we want the Holy Spirit to be able to lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. Because that's what we all should want is truth. Isaiah 1:26 says, he says, God is saying, and I will restore thy judges as at the first. I believe that's what God is wanting to do now. A similar thing. You know, I don't know if we're going to call them judges, but, you know, we have the fivefold ministry. And but he says, and I will at first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the city, a faithful city. I believe that Martin County and the city of Stewart is a faithful city. I believe that this Treasure Coast, there's treasures that come out of this Treasure Coast. And even in Exodus, I think it's 19, it talks about the treasure. And, you know, we are a chosen generation, aren't we? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I think it says that in 19 that they were a peculiar treasure. And I like that. It doesn't say treasure, I don't think, in the New Testament in that scripture, but it says in Exodus, I believe it's 19, they were a peculiar treasure. Well, I think about the Treasure Coast. We are a peculiar treasure, and we need to be a lighthouse for not only for Florida, but for the nation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're a peculiar people, and that what? That we're supposed to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen.
Amen.
This area needs to be a lighthouse for the Lord.
You know, that reminds me of Deuteronomy 6:18, where it talks about possessing the land. And in doing so, as we possess the land, you cannot possess it if you compromise. You have to take, God is calling us to take, which He has already promised unto us. And to do so, we also have to stand up for truth and righteousness. And again, we cannot do that if we're being wishy-washy, if we're compromising.
Well, I remember a prophecy I gave to the commissioners one time. I don't know which one of the Bible marathons when we got the proclamation that this Martin County was the part of the prophecy was it was a land of the living.
Hmm.
And I know that's in one scripture somewhere in the Bible. I don't know exactly where offhand. But we need to be the land of the living. The land of truth and righteousness.
Indeed.
That's how we have to. That's why we have to raise the standard.
Absolutely. That's a good word, Donna.
Well, praise God. God is good. Well, God's word is good, and I encourage everyone to get into the first five books of the Bible. It's the Torah, and you can look up on your phone or your on the internet Torah portions because you can pull a lot of good nuggets out of it too that will have to do with our lives today. You know, God didn't want them to king. He didn't want kings. He wanted to set up a system where He was the judge of all and people who can listen because we're a prophetic people. We can now hear the voice of the Lord. They were at that mountain in verse 19. It goes on that they were at the mountain of God and the people were afraid. They didn't want to hear from God anymore, but we should be excited that we hear the voice of God and we can get a prophetic word and we can be led by the Holy Ghost, that we can move into this area that God's calling you and me and others to come into to make this what God wants it to be.
You know, I was just thinking, you were talking the importance of getting into the first five books of the Bible, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't think about an important quotation from John. This
Definitely.
Book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you
That's
shall
right.
observe to
That's
do
right.
all that is written therein, and then you shall That's go right. out and have great success. And
you know, we We need the whole Bible.
Yes.
Go ahead. That's good.
I was just going to say that if there was ever a yes, we need the entire Bible, not just the red letters of the New Testament, the Jesus sayings, but we need to understand that he did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And boy, if there's ever a time when we really need to be meditating on God's word and observing to do all that is written, we can't just meditate, but we really need to be practicing what we preach. We need to be living according to the word of God, and we need to be encouraging others to do likewise. And what's the reward? He already promised you victory, that you'll go out and have great success.
Amen. We need to be doers of the word, and yes. You know, I can see an example with you too, how you have come and you've helped out and you filled in and you've just, you know, just basically just helped us just take over. You've taken over so much, and I just really appreciate it, because that's being a doer of the word. What about those who are just hearers and they don't do? They don't come to your aid. They don't come to help. And I'm going to cry. But we do need the whole word of God. You know, in my Bible, I tore out that page. Maybe it's sacrilegious. I don't know. But I tore out that page that's in between the new and the old. Because, you know, everything that Jesus said, and you can find so, he repeated so many things that Moses said that's in the Old Testament as well. Gene doesn't like to call it the Old Testament. He likes to call it the First Testament and the Renewed Testament.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because, you know, Jesus, like you said, he came to fulfill the law, not to change it, not to eliminate it. Because we go into chapter 20 and we're talking about the Ten Commandments. Well, a lot of people don't think those Ten Commandments are for today. But, you know, look what happened in Coral Springs. That was, my daughter lived in Coral Springs. Our grandkids went to school right there where all this happened this week. And so many people are devastated. They're scared to send their kids to school. Look what's happening in our country. I hear there was even a scare right here in Martin County, on Friday morning at one of the middle schools.
Glad you brought that up, Donna, because as Christ followers, we who have accepted Jesus Christ in our life, we're not just believers, we're followers of Christ. There is an answer. There is an answer to the dilemma that our nation has. I, along with all of us in our nation, and particularly along the Treasure Coast, this is a sad season. I mean, evil has reached in amongst us and stolen away many of our young right here in our own community.
Yes.
And there is not an answer that is outside of the truth of God for this condition in our land. There's a lot of talk about a lot of different things, but the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, has a solution for our nation. And I trust people listening today will not be filled with fear, will not be timid, will not give in to just the alarm and just being stirred up with anxiety, but that that everyone would seek to find the answer in God. And Donna, you addressed that. If you don't mind, I'd like to just mention from Luke chapter 19.
Right.
As Jesus, you know, this is the triumphal entry. And as he approached Jerusalem, the scriptures tells us when he saw the city, he wept.
Mm-hmm. Wept.
He saw the city and he wept. He wept over it. He wept over the city. And I believe today is a day for there to be weeping. I came in today and I thought, Jesus wept when he looked at the condition of a lost world, when he looked at his own people, when he realized that the decisions they had made and they would make would end up bringing their entire nation to its knees. And Jesus went on to say that. If you had known on this day, if you just understood what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. And he goes on to talk about the days will come when your enemies will build embankments against you and encircle you, hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. I mean, this is it's a reality that took place in AD 70. It's a terrible season in Israel's history. But Jesus saw that day of destruction was coming, but it was coming in part because They did not understand the love of God, the gift of God, and the coming of Christ. And so Jesus wept. And it's appropriate for us to share that the heart of God is moved with what moves our heart. And God is compassionate. God does understand these families that are devastated today. And God has grace. God has compassion. God has strength. God has salvation. God has encouragement for them today. And probably some that are listening today, some of you, you may have friends that are directly involved in this. And if we have a few moments, I'd like to look at a few other scriptures and just talk about how God has a solution, just as he did as Jethro was giving that word that Moses couldn't do it all. Mm-hmm. This is where God is calling us as the body of Christ to come together to serve as his church, as his body.
Amen.
You know,
go ahead and share the scripture. That's really good. That's
okay.
Really good. And that's exactly, this is exactly what, you know, we can see in the old how things had to be done, you know, because Moses thought, you know, he had to do it all.
Right.
Well, sometimes some people think they have to do it all, but we don't have to do it. Everyone has a calling. And I think about the scripture where he talks about the body. You know, the little toe is as important as the head. The head's not the most important thing, you know. That little toe isn't just as important. We need every bit of every part of the body of Christ.
You know, you reminded me when you were talking about how Jesus wept over the city. It takes me back to Isaiah, the 22nd chapter, and it talks about how the prophets warned the people of Jerusalem that their hypocritical nature will be their downfall. It says, when the Lord had come for weeping, the Lord had called for weeping and mourning over impending invasion, instead of the people said flippantly, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. And God's response to their disobedience was to proclaim, till your dying day, this sin will not be atoned for. And, you know, We are, people are oftentimes wondering, well, you know, we've been waiting for Jesus for so long to return, and all of these things are going on in the world, and so, you know, why bother? You know, why, you know, we do our thing, we know what we believe, and we've become so religious, if you will, we've become so sanitized to a point where there's such apathy in the world that we live in. And yet, my Bible tells me that God has all of the answers.
Amen.
And he's already forewarned us. And I just wonder, when are we, and I speak to an audience of one, when are we going to start waking up and adhering to the voice of the Lord and not become hardened to the things
That's right.
of God?
Tony, I pray that today is a day of awakening. If we just look at circumstances and we look at the news, a lot of the news is really rotten. But this is why we have to remember the Word of God. Jeremiah 29, many who are in Christ are going to know these words, because in the Scripture, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. Now listen, God's plans for us, for a nation, for us as a people, his plans were not that we would be dominated by killing, stealing, and destroying.
Mm-mm.
John 10 Man. Makes it clear that Satan is the one, evil, darkness, the wicked, wickedness, this is where killing, stealing, destroying comes from. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In Jeremiah 29, what does God say? I know I have plans for you, declares the Lord's plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. When you seek me and find me, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I believe there is a call to us as a nation to seek God with all of our heart. God says, I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back. Looking at our history, I was just studying again as I was in prayer for today, thinking about seasons of darkness in America's history. J. Edwin Orr talking about right after the American Revolution, there was such a moral slump, drunkenness had become an epidemic. Out of a population of 5,300,000 were confirmed drunkards. They were burying 15,000 of them each year. Profanity was of the most shocking kind. For the first time in the history of the American settlement, women were afraid to go out at night for fear of assault. Wow. Bank robberies were a daily occurrence. The churches, whether the Methodists, they were losing more members than they were gaining. The Baptists said they were in a winter season. The Presbyterians, they deplored the nation's ungodliness. The Lutherans and the Episcopalians talked about getting together because things were just falling apart. And the Chief Justice of the United States, John Marshall, wrote to the Bishop of Virginia, James Madison, that the church was too far gone ever to be redeemed. Mm. However, there was a great awakening. There was a great awakening. And God had better plans for our nation at that time. And I'm confident that God has better plans for us today as well.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen. And those, you know, those things are happening today. And I'm reminded, I don't know how to quote it exactly, but somebody posted it on Facebook, and I believe it was Billy Graham's son, or what's his name, Franklin Graham, on one of the TV stations, there's a show called, well, it starts with a V. Anyways, a woman said about our vice president that something about his religion was foolishness, and I don't know those exact words she used, but basically coming against his Christian belief, and he went on and said, you know, that it was the most important thing in his life, knowing Christ and knowing the Bible and reading the Bible in the morning and praying with his wife before he goes out. So, you know, so there are people out there mocking us. There's a mocking spirit that's trying to just pull Christianity, just tear it apart.
But the mocking spirit does not have an answer.
No,
it's in the news today. Everybody's trying to get rid of the gun, get rid of the guns, get rid of the guns. Listen, the problem is in the heart of man.
Amen.
The Word of God makes it clear that the heart of man, apart from the grace of God, is not a pretty place. That the heart of man is wicked. You just look at the horrible, horrific things that are in the news. And when we read from Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus said, a city or house divided against itself will not stand. And we begin to think about how the enemy, how Satan, just evil, has divided and taken apart our nation from what it was when it was founded. As a nation, many of our hearts are divided. We have people that have split personalities. I saw something, 60-some personalities, because of so many different conditions, mental conditions, drugs, opioids, addictive lifestyles, behaviors, the broken-down condition of our homes, divorce in the family, men not honoring their vows, women not honoring their vows. We have the LGBT community that is breaking down the roles that God has established in our nation. And no one wants to come out, Donna, in the world and say the problem is we as a nation have rebelled against truth. We've rebelled against God. We've rebelled against the Ten Commandments. They used to be up in the school. And when you went into the school, not only did we have Ten Commandments on the wall, and people learned, thou shalt not kill. They memorized the Ten Commandments in public school. That was part of the education. Mm-hmm. Today, the mindset is that who has the right to tell someone else what's right? Who has the right to tell someone what's wrong? We've lost our moral bases. Immorality is rampant. There is just a breakdown. There's a breakdown in our homes. There's a breakdown in our hearts. There's a breakdown in our families. So many men that are in prison, many of them did not have a dad at home, and they grew up without a father. So many children, daughters as well, their families are broken. There's abuse. There's drug abuse. There's sexual abuse. Our cities are divided. Our nation, the enemy seeks to divide our nation, and the church is divided. You know, God's plan is for us to get on our face, cry out to God, repent of our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and God will bring healing to our land. But this is a call to those who are listening today, Donna. It's a call to the church. It's a call to the pastors. It's a call to every person, every teenager. This is the answer in our schools. The answer is to bring our nation back to Christ. Get on our face, repent, turn back to God, and God will bring healing to our land.
You know, it's a it's a situation in which you may be listening and saying, wow, it's such doom and gloom. There's such a sense of hopelessness among many people. And it's very prevalent even in the church. We're supposed to have we're supposed to know the truth and the light, and we're supposed to be free from it. And yet, in spite of that, there's such doom and gloom. And it reminds me of 2 Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about the last days being perilous times that shall come. And it goes on, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it goes on and on and on, and it seems to be such gloom and doom. And then it even refers to many of us that are a part of the Christian community, where it says, having a form of godliness, yet denying the power thereof, for such turn away. But, you know, then it reminds me of in John 16, where Jesus talks about it. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the midst of all of the chaos that we experience in the world. And it tells us to be encouraged, because it says that be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. Thank God. Amen. For Jesus, and thank God for the resurrection, as we're coming soon to celebrate that Easter moment, and when we know that the resurrection gives
that's
us
the answer.
The old saying, it's Friday, but
Sunday's on the way, because he lives. Because
Amen.
He lives.
Amen.
You know, in Deuteronomy, we were talking about the commandments the importance of having an understanding of right and wrong. I grew up with that. Deuteronomy chapter 6 mentions the importance of this. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them mm-hmm. on your children.
Yeah.
Our children need to be taught the truth. They need to be taught morality. They need to be taught right from wrong. They need to have an educational system where we can call things true and untrue, right and wrong. There needs to be morality. There needs to be foundations. You know, years ago, I was sitting in a school board meeting, and the discussion was whether or not there should be teaching about abstinence or safe sex. I'll never forget, I got so frustrated at this meeting, because there was a group of people there who rightfully were saying, we need to teach the consequences of bad behavior, poor choices, that there's consequences to our actions. We cannot get away from them. And so the other side of it, one of the school board members just kind of broke into everything, and he said, well, you know, let's just get this straightened out right now. All of us had premarital sex. We had sex when we were in high school. So what do we think we're going to accomplish by thinking that we're going to teach our kids and they're not going to live the way we did? And I sat there thinking, well, first of all of us didn't have premarital sex, and all of us did not grow up living in that kind of an immoral environment. And if we did, it's because somebody did not raise the standard in our life and teach us what the word was and hold us accountable to it. But I thought that day, when we have leaders who do not have reverence and respect for marriage, do not have reverence and respect for the unborn, 58 million babies have been murdered in this nation. That is a lot of blood. 58 million. That is a lot of blood. And the enemy's plan is to devalue life. When abortion was approved, with the killing of these babies, life in general has been devalued. And this is the plan of Satan. What difference does it make? And, you know, a lot of the things in the media, movies, video games. There are so many different things that just has to do with killing and murder, and they're just raunchy. I mean, it really is bad. But I know that there is a better day for our nation if we as a people will cry out to God and turn back to Him with all of our hearts. Amen. You know, this passage, Deuteronomy, this was to be before them every day. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Donna, this is the way a family's to work. When the family started coming apart, when marriages started coming apart, and so many people live together, they're not married. Listen, God's plan is for one man, one woman, one lifetime. And I know there's sin, and because of sin, there's divorce. But God's plan still is for a man and a woman to be married, for there to be children that are safely protected in a guarded environment.
That's right. That's right. You are so right. And there's so many families that are, so many children are just absolutely lost. They're absolutely lost.
You know, getting back to that comment from the at the school board, yes, Romans reminds us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are people who need to understand that God calls us to become repentant of whatever those sins may have been. It's not a doom and gloom situation where we're so hopeless that, well, I've messed up so bad. I know I have.
God will change us. Tony, God will change us.
And it's a continuous process.
And he has changed you, hasn't he?
And he's continuing to change me.
Amen.
And I'm thank God. You know, but the other thing that about that is that we have so many people, even in our churches, that are under such bondage. They don't understand that the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And, man, I run into so many people that said, well, I'm too far gone. I there's just nothing God can do for me. Oh, what a shame to be so blinded, to be in such bondage. And as I said, even among our church people, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the patience of God, the love of God that He has for us, you can change, and you can do it right now. All you have to do is just cry out to God with a repentant heart and be sincere about it. And mind, watch what God can do just for a person who will humble themselves and cry out to Him.
You know, where you were at in Second Chronicles, I'm going to share a couple things. You know, the people, it's actually the churches, many of them have taught error, and there's not truth. And so people think that the grace of God is okay for them to live in adultery, or it's okay for them to live together in fornication, or anything else. You know, there's just anything else. Like you said, the Ten Commandments are no longer. I remember the Ten Commandments when I was in school. I remember they prayed over the intercom, and they read a psalm every day. I remember the teachers prayed in the classrooms. You know, all those things happened back then, I would say. But, you know, that can return. Just because it's not right now, we can return. We can pray. It's just like with Solomon. You know, they prayed, and we got to repent of the evil that we have done, the sin that we have done, and beseech the Lord and tell Him that we've missed the mark. Many of us have missed the mark, and I believe that a lot of people that are in churches, they feel that the grace of God is going to cover everything, and that it's okay for them to continually to do that. But when we continually, we all miss the mark, but when somebody continually lives in a situation which is against God's law, He's the judge of all. I read that at the beginning. You know, He's the judge of all. And when people do that, they think they're going to go to heaven, but they're not. They're going to miss heaven. Because God tells us many times why people aren't in heaven. You know, even a liar, a lie, you know, I'll tell a little white lie. Well, there's no little white lie. A lie is a lie. But over in chapter 7, which you were in Second Chronicle, when Solomon, you know, he made an end of praying. They were praying. They were seeking the Lord. They were crying out to the Lord. It says that when they did that, and like with this prayer that we're having, Jonathan, when people, when the elders, like it has to start with the leadership.
Yes.
And the people will come, and they will come. And it says what happened. It's the end of praying. the fire came down from heaven, hallelujah, and consumed the burnt offering. What is the burnt offering? It's, I believe it's our prayer and our crying out and our learning how to seek the Lord. There's, I don't think people know how to really travail in the spirit for the Lord. It says that the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, I just feel the Holy Ghost, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground. How many people do that anymore? Upon the pavement, and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, Tav, he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, this is the same thing. We're coming to the season of Purim. I think this is a season that people need to start stirring themselves to be like Esther. We're going to have an Esther program on the 4th of March, and it's going to be, what would you do if you were Esther today in 2018? If you were a nurse, if you were a doctor, if you were a judge, how would you live? What would you do? Would you be like the Esther that was in Persia who said, if I perish, I perish? Would you be like our vice president who stood up and spoke that he's a Christian, that he prays, that he seeks the Lord for every direction? Or would you cower back because you don't want to be somebody to look at you and think something bad about you? You know what I mean? People, there's a lot of people that are in fear. But, you know, you quoted verse 14. And because this is what it says, if my people, there's an if there. Mm-hmm. We have a choice. There's an if there. Which are called by my name, are we called by his name, shall humble themselves and pray, and my face, and turn, this is important, turn to Shuva. We must turn from their wicked ways. All those things that you mentioned, all those sins that you mentioned, and there's hundreds and hundreds of more,
sure,
are wicked ways that we have chosen, the people have chosen, because we don't look to God as the judge of all. It says then, God says then. So he says then, after you do all these things, then will I hear from heaven. God is waiting for us, just like he waited for Moses at that burning bush. Many times Moses was around that burning bush, and he never saw God because he wasn't looking. And he says, and will forgive. He says, God says, I'm going to forgive their sins. God will forgive the sins of America.
Thank God.
Amen?
Yes. Thank
and
God.
He will heal our land. And we will become, like I prophesied over Martin County, the land of the living.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Later,
but God sets up certain ways that we must do things.
Yes,
there's an order.
In that same passage, a little later, where God warns in verse 19, if you turn away and forsake the decrees,
that's
see,
right.
This is what has happened. We have been blessed as a nation. We've been really a missionary nation to the nations, and yet in many ways, out of our prosperity and fatness, we decided we didn't need God as first in our life. Many people, and many people have drifted. And so this warning that God gives says, you go after other gods, you go to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from the land which I've given them and will reject this temple. And that's what happened to Israel. And that is what has been happening to us. But we are in a window, a season, an opportune time to come back to God. This is a time to come back to God. And I would just encourage everyone today that's listening, find a church that teaches the Word of God, where the Lord is lifted up in worship, and get into that church this weekend with your whole family. Find a
Amen.
Bible-believing church. If you're up in this area, there's a number up and down the Treasure Coast. Find a Bible-believing church. Go to church. Get into church. Get on your knees today. If you can pray at this moment, be prayerful. And let's just say, Lord, have mercy on our nation. We need a great awakening. We need a great revival in our land. You know, Donna, in Ezekiel, when the prophet was shown all those dry bones, just dry, 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 dry bones. And what did the Lord ask him? Can these bones live again? And he looked out at those bones, and they looked so dry. His response wasn't very positive. He didn't even know. He didn't even have the word in him. He didn't have the faith in him to say, yes, 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 they can live again. And that was his nation. His nation was so far gone. And I hear people saying that about my nation, about my country, about my people. But you know what? We're here today because we're not too far gone. Today is still a day of salvation. And the prophet was instructed to speak over those dry bones, to speak life to them, to call forth the breath of God to them. And God's plan was to raise those bones back up piece by piece, putting them back together, restoring, and then putting breath back into them so the nation was restored. And today there's people that are in the middle of a divorce. Somebody's angry, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness, there's strife, there are habits, there are addictions, there are strongholds. Some child today is probably weeping because of the hurt inside of their heart. We've gone through horrific things, but the answer today is to cry out to Jesus.
Yes.
Cry out to Jesus. Believe in your heart. There is no other answer. There is no other answer other than to come to God today. We could remove every gun. It's not going to fix the heart. There's no way to deal with sin other than coming to Christ. And the plan of God is to bless us as a nation again.
Amen.
Coming to God is not a negative thing. It's the most positive thing that anyone could ever do.
You know, I'm convinced, I'm thoroughly convinced that as we humble ourselves before the Lord, as it says in Isaiah 40, His glory will be revealed. And all we need to do is humble ourselves, cry out to him, and admit that we need him, because without him, we are hopelessly lost.
We are hopelessly lost. As you read in verse 19, in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, that warning there that they were serving other gods and they were worshiping other gods. So all of these things that are drawing people away from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, they're worshiping other gods. And it's interesting in Exodus chapter 20, the very first commandment, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says
that's
that.
It. Mm-hmm.
And exactly what has happened to the world, actually.
And really, a god or an idol becomes anything that's between us and God, anything that lifts itself up. Daniel, I love Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel, when he realized the condition of his nation, he was not full of fear or timidity. He was full of intercession. He carried this burden for his people, and he cries out to the Lord, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong, and we have as a nation, mm-hmm. as individuals, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. Yes, we've done that individually and as a nation. We have turned away from your commands and your laws, Father. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, Donna, to think about the fact that our schools have become killing fields. Where is safe today? That, you know, there's death that in the churches. People have come in and killed in the church. They've killed in the marketplace, killed in all these different places. And it's only in humbling ourselves and coming back to God that there is going to be a spiritual breakthrough, so that destruction is bound by the Spirit of God and does not have authority to bring the destruction upon us.
But, you know, even with all of that we're saying, it isn't too late.
It is not too late.
Because the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
And we need to repent today, not tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late.
Right now. We need to repent right now. We need to repent right now. You know, Donna, several years ago, you and your husband were in town at that time, and Tony, I don't know if you were in town at that time, but we had a horrific event that happened at our church. We had a soup kitchen for many years, 11 years, and a man that had been fed in the kitchen, he had been there several times, came one morning and knocked on the door, and precious lady Rita Peck, who worked in the school system here in Martin County for many years, was at the front desk. And this man asked if he could use the restroom, came in, made his way back to the kitchen, found a butcher knife. And he he came in with that knife and tried to drag her to the communion table in the church, and he was going to kill her there at the communion table. However, she fought him. Now, I don't know how old Rita was at the time, maybe in her late 60s or 70s. She fought him, and he ended up dragging her into my office and cutting through every tendon in one arm and then cutting through seven tendons in the other arm. And Rita laid there on the floor, and with her own blood on the end of her finger, she wrote on my file cabinet, so if she died, we would know who had done this. But that's not the important thing, because tragedy, we're not delivered from all tragedy just because we're in Christ. So tragedies come. The big thing about Rita Peck is this. When Rita sat in court, and this man who did this to her was sitting across from her, she turned to the judge and said, "Your Honor, could I speak to this man?" And the judge said, "You may." And this was all televised. Rita turned to him and said, "I want you to understand that I have already forgiven you because I'm forgiven. I, too, had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And apart from the forgiving work of Jesus Christ in my life, I, too, would be condemned to death. But," she said, "Christ has forgiven me."
Wow.
"I have forgiven you. And if you will allow the love of God to enter your heart, to puncture that darkness, and to penetrate that lostness, God will bring you to life and salvation as well." And we need this in our land. We need healing.
Yes, we do.
You know, Tony, we need healing. We need healing between mothers and fathers, healing between parents and children. We need healing between brothers and sisters. We need healing between races. We need healing between political parties. We need to quit judging and condemning. We need to come to Christ, lay it down, and get our hearts right.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's what it's all about. That's all about. We need to confess our sins and know, like it says here, you read that we've sinned, that we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly, we have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. We have done this, this nation has done this. And we have as individuals as well, and we need to repent and turn from our wicked ways.
In Acts chapter 2, Donna, I wanted to share this before we leave today, because we've talked about repentance several times. But Peter, who was one of the disciples, he had a pretty good-sized mouth on him. He didn't always have the character to live up to what he would speak. He had a good heart, but he was kind of boastful. He really did not have the spiritual maturity. And I think, Tony, you mentioned this too. None of us are perfect enough to stand here and judge someone else today. But the point is this, that God loves us. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And when Peter cursed and swore and then fled away, Jesus did not forget Peter. And so someone's listening today, you may call yourself a backslider. You may call yourself an agnostic. You may call yourself an infidel. I don't know what you may call yourself. But if you knew about Christ, you grew up in church, you grew up with the Word of God, you grew up understanding the love of God, I want you to understand that God is a God that welcomes you to cry out to Him today and come back home.
Yes.
And if you need to forgive, you have anger in your heart, you have bitterness in your heart, somebody's hurt you, somebody's wronged you, you are struggling with what's just happened, then you can cry out to God today and let that go as well. But Donna, listen, this is what's exciting. The question was, what must we do? And Peter said, when the brother said, what must we do after the gospel was preached? Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead. He did that for us so we might have eternal life. And the brother said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He did not say, repent and be baptized into First Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Assembly Church, or any other church. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. This is about lifting Jesus up today, Tony.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about any particular denomination. It is calling people to repent, get on your knees, get alone,
humble
in
yourself.
Your car, humble yourself, and seek the face of God, and God will forgive you.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Donna, we just have a couple minutes.
That gift is a gift from the Lord, from God Almighty. He wants to give us all the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will direct us into to the truth.
Amen.
As we seek him, as we seek the Lord. Like you said, Peter had to, he had boldness, though, you know, even though he did a few things, you know, but he came to me and said to Jesus, said, get behind me. He was speaking to Satan when Peter spoke out in other times. But, you know, Peter did. He said that in verse 38, repent. And that's so important, that we repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I love it when the King James says ye, because he's talking to everybody.
Amen.
And maybe you're a Southern. I just like ye all.
Y'all.
He's speaking to all of us. He wants to give us all the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it will bring us into the truth. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and we need his testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So
amen.
We're just about out of time.
We are. Okay. We have about 1 minute left, and again, I know there's a closing that you have March the 23rd at 7:30 at the Holiday Inn in Port St. Lucie. We're going to have 70 seats available for pastors and spiritual leaders mm-hmm. on the Treasure Coast to come together to seek God in prayer.
And on March the 4th, we'll be having a Purim celebration in the afternoon. That's a time of joy. It's going to be in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. There'll be a dinner and a presentation and a special guest speaker, Dr. Bree Keaton. So I will just word is closing. This is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton and Jonathan and Coach Bishop. I just thank the Lord for you two. And I just hope you can continue until we can. Well, you know, maybe God is doing a new thing with this program, Raising the Standard. It's going to bring some other people on. I don't know, but I thank the Lord for both of you. And so I would just say, have a blessed day. I don't see the time, so I know Pastor Tom's there. So I would just say Shabbat Shalom. Have a blessed day in the Lord. And go to church, like Pastor Jonathan said. Amen.
Amen.
And Father, we just ask your peace over every listener today. I ask, Father, that you would touch every heart, and those that need to surrender their life to you, may they surrender your life now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.